Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Sam Davidson, on the board. Mr. Zomers out for a little appointment. All is well, but getting the eyes checked. And it turned out, Sam, that he got his eyes dilated, so he's recovering.
Unexpectedly, I heard.
Unexpectedly.
Yeah, did you hear about like the situation,
All I knew is he had an eye appointment. And
right.
So what happened after that?
Well, I heard that he had an eye appointment, but he didn't expect to get his eyes dilated, that they gave him eye drops, but he didn't expect to not be able to see after the appointment today.
Well, you know, he's recovering very nicely, and we appreciate you filling in on short notice. Thank you,
Happy
Sam.
Happy to be here.
We appreciate it. Sam, of course, the producer for The Morning Show with John and Gordy here locally on WMDX, our Madison affiliate. So always great to have you along, Sam, a graduate of the University of Wisconsin Broadcasting, or University of Wisconsin Madison in Broadcasting Communication.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you.
Glad to be here. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Joining us usually on Wednesdays from the Lincoln Project, we have a senior advisor, Trigvi Olson. Trigvi is traveling, so it is our pleasure to welcome in once again, pinch hitting, but he is certainly in the starting lineup for us. Also a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, former executive with the Republican Party of Michigan, Jeff Timmer, joining us live from Michigan. Jeff, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming in today.
I'm happy to be here, Todd. I always love talking to you guys, and your listeners are great.
Well, we appreciate you being here. It's been an interesting week, to say the least, in politics, and we have a little segment we do, which is called What's Worse? And I'm going to give people a heads up. We'll do this later on this hour or next hour. But this week's or today's What's Worse is, what's worse, that Nikki Haley announced she's voting for Trump, or that this is a surprise to absolutely no one? So that'll be what's coming up, what's worse, a little bit later. Nikki Haley, the esteemed, in some eyes, the former governor and former ambassador to the UN under Trump, who said repeatedly that she was not on the Trump train, yesterday, Jeff decided to buy a ticket.
Yeah, I mean, you know, call me not shocked.
Right.
You know, that I mean, this behavior is what has allowed Trump and Trumpism to flourish and dominate our politics for the last almost 9 years now. We're coming up just 1 month short of 9 years since he descended the Jethro Bodine Golden Escalator and Trump Tower and launched, you know, our twisted history on its, you know, divergent path from, you know, the American experiment to the Trump train. And so it's you know, what Nikki is trying to do is maintain viability. She's still looking at things largely through the prism of the game she knows, which is that Donald Trump is likely to lose the election, or if he wins, he's going to be gone in 4 years, and she'll, you know, we're going to revert back to the magical days, and they're going to Republican primary voters in 2028 will choose the heir of Mitt Romney with a taint of Trump, meaning Nikki Haley, and not continued, you know, further down this rabbit hole. And it's this cynical calculation that so many other Republican politicians who know everything that Trump is doing, has done, will do, is wrong and dangerous. They know he is the wrong choice. They know he is a threat, but they're looking at it through their own self-interest of, how does this position me? How does this enable me to maintain power or achieve power or keep the door open to returning to power in the case of Nikki Haley?
I think it's just, as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, largely over voter suppression issues here in the state of Wisconsin, I just think it's sad, Jeff. I mean, Nikki Haley, for better or worse, I mean, I'm sure she probably did some decent things as governor at some point. But to see these people, they're not intellectually stupid. They're not people who aren't aware. And you know a lot more people even than I do on the national scene who complain bitterly about Donald Trump behind closed doors and then do crap like this.
Oh, sure. You know, it's not just Nikki Haley. It's there's the performative wing of the Republican Party, the people who know right from wrong clearly. They understand everything that Trump is with all of his faults, and they've seen their own star and power and clout rise. The Marco Rubios, the Ted Cruz's, the Nikki Haley's, but they say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they. I mean, and even looking here in Wisconsin, you've got someone like Tommy Thompson, who a former Republican governor, who Trigvy and I talk oftentimes and praise him because he did a lot of great things. And now today he's named a delegate to the Republican National Convention. And I think in Tommy's case, it's just a matter of, in my personal opinion, let's see what you think. I think he just wants to be relevant, so he keeps going along with his stuff, and I don't get it.
Yeah, I've seen that with people like Tommy, with his contemporary, somebody I was affiliated with in Michigan, Republican Governor John Engler, kind of in the same boat. They've been out of office and out of the public eye for a long time. They spent most of their lives in the public eye in positions of serious relevance. And it's, they miss the fix. They miss the high. They miss the kick. They don't see themselves as contributing to the fall of not just the Republican Party, but to the precipice that the American experiment finds itself on.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking we're at that fork in the road that, Yogi Berra talks about, which, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. We have this dystopian Trump-like future, or we have the imperfect path that the United States has followed for the last 240 years that Joe Biden can point us to. And Joe Biden in the Democrats, regardless of what anybody, me coming from a Republican background, there's a lot of policy and ideological disagreements that I have with them. But I haven't even thought about policy or ideology much in the last 9 years because there's, the house has been on fire and there's still people talking about rearranging the furniture in the living room before putting the fire out. And so, I just think that I understand the old guys like Engler and Tommy Thompson, more, I guess, I'm not inclined to give anybody a pass, but I give them a bigger pass than the Nikki Haley's, who are looking to still either serve in a Trump administration again, knowing the damage that could or will be done, and looking to position themselves on the ash heap of whatever is left after a Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. See, in 2028, if you don't think, assuming there is a free and fair election in 2028 and that, we don't see Trump try to cling to power in an autocratic way. And I think it would be very unwise to dismiss that possibility as un-American and as unfathomable as it may seem. It can happen here. They're setting up the mechanism to make it happen here.
I think a lot of people just, they get tired and say, well, all politicians are alike. And I think we have a couple of cuts here. And Sam, we got one of the, we can take the first one I sent you there on from Nikki Haley. Here's what Nikki Haley said just a few months ago on the campaign trail. Here's Nikki Haley.
He was completely wrong because every time he was in the same room with him, he got weak in the knees. We can't have a president that gets weak in the knees with Putin. We have to have a president that's going to be strong with Putin in every sense of the word.
So that's what was Nikki Haley talking about, Trump being weak on foreign policy and weak in the knees with Vladimir Putin, which, of course, he is. She was right about that one, Jeff. Then here's what she said about not going to bow down and kiss the ring to Donald Trump. She wasn't going to do it. Here is Nikki Haley on the campaign trail a few months ago.
Of course, many of the same politicians who now publicly embrace Trump privately dread him. They know what a disaster he's been and will continue to be for our party. They're just too afraid to say it out loud. Well, I'm not afraid to say the hard truths out loud. I feel no need to kiss the ring. I have no fear of Trump's retribution. I'm not looking for anything from him. My own political future is of zero concern. Right. So well, I hear what
you
the
believe that. I got a bridge
says.
In Brooklyn to tell you. Perfect. And then after all of that, Jeff Timmer, this is what Nikki Haley had to say yesterday in terms of who she's voting for in 2024.
As a voter, I put my priorities on a president who's going to have the backs of our allies and hold our enemies to account, who would secure the border, no more excuses, a president who would support capitalism and freedom, a president who understands we need less debt, not more debt. Trump has not been perfect on these policies. I've made that clear many, many times. But Biden has been a catastrophe. So I will be voting for Trump.
She said it. About a minute left, Jeff Timmer. What are the American public, the voters, supposed to make of any politician when you have hypocrisy like that?
They should be cynical. Nothing happens in politics by chance. She didn't just happen to say that yesterday because the mood struck her. This is a transactional business, and some sort of transaction has taken place or is in the works, and this was conditional on whatever that may be, a spot in the Trump administration, consideration for vice president, whatever it is. She didn't just capitulate on a whim. There was a reason.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's sad. It's sad, quite frankly, because what you have are people watch this and you have somebody like Nikki Haley, who was respected, or maybe some people do. And she said she wasn't going to have any more of Trump. She said she was going to walk away. She said, adios, Donald. I'm through with you. And Donald Trump looked at Nikki Haley like he has with so many Republicans. And Donald Trump said to Nikki Haley, we'll have it in a second. Well, anyway, he said, basically said, from the words of Hamilton, I'll be back.
Soon you'll see, you remember you belong to me. You'll be back, time will tell. Remember that I served you well. Oceans rise, empires fall. We have seen each other.
That's what. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. Doing it. Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are at 20 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. It is Thursday, May 23rd, 2024. Glad to have a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Always good to change it up a little bit. We normally have Trigvi Olson, but his colleague at the Lincoln Project, and like Trigvi and myself, a former Republican, but from Michigan, not Wisconsin, Jeff Timmer joins us today. Always glad to have you along, Jeff. First of all, a phone call off the line, 855-752-4842, talking about Nikki Haley changing course. Interesting, Jeff, and I agree that this was calculated, her announcement that she's going to vote for Trump now after trying to disavow him. Bob calling in on the line. Bob, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, it is just unbelievable how low she could go. First of all, when she was running in the primary, she said, and she was right, Trump is unfit to be president. Plus, she has a husband that's in the military, and Trump calls people, veterans and people that are in the military, suckers and losers. You know, she's a female Ted Cruz. I don't know how you can say the things she said about somebody and then come out with a smile on her face and say, I'm voting for him. Yeah. This is how low the Republican Party has gotten, just like those clones that went into New York and wore their blue suit, white shirt, and red tie.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call. Jeff, again, I think the caller, Bob's absolutely right there. They try to disavow this stuff, and then they come back and you just realize they don't mean any of it.
Yeah, and I think the important thing, it can get so frustrating because it defies logic and reason. But if you understand that there's a facade being put up here by politicians like Nikki Haley, like I said going into the break, this is politics is a transactional business, and she's looking to conduct business in the future, whether it's next year in a Trump administration or in, you know, leading up to 2028 with what she sees as a political future. What people on the Republican side are counting on right now is apathy and fatigue among the listeners like Bob, who are just fed up with this, and that they'll throw their hands up and say, it doesn't matter what I do. I want to say it does matter what we do. There are more of us than there are of them. So be heartened, pro-democracy Americans. I'm not saying, you know, Democrat. I'm not a Democrat, but I'm voting for Democrats this year because it's the only choice I have if I want a democracy, a republic in the future.
Right. Oh, totally agree. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We'll go to a Lincoln Project fan across the pond over in the UK, calling in from London, Jay in London. Always great to have you along, Jay. I know how much you enjoy the Lincoln Project. We have Jeff on today. What do you have to say?
Indeed, sir. Jeff, thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, I know. And then, can I retort a little bit, Todd?
Sure.
You wonder why people are voting for Trump? Because of people like Nikki Haley.
So you're saying that Nikki Haley is enabling the Trumpism in America by making it more mainstream?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, what say you on that?
Yeah, well, I think that's what she is trying to do, and there has been some success with that among the Republican voting electorate, but as we've seen, Nikki Haley's been out of the race since February, and she continues to get many of these states 12, 15, 20% of the vote, even though she's not actively running. She appears on the ballot. I think it's a huge mistake for anybody to think those votes are going to follow Nikki Haley to Donald Trump.
Right.
These votes, these Republican voters in these states are not going to be voting for Donald Trump. They're going to be voting for anybody but Donald Trump. That's why they were voting for Nikki Haley. And I think that is the biggest story so far this campaign year hasn't been Donald Trump's dominance in the Republican Party. It's his growing weakness with the Republican base, that what was a 5% expanded to 10% and might be as high as 20% of the voters who aren't willing to vote for him. He can't win if that happens.
I think that's really interesting. I want to just spend a minute on this because you know Michigan so well. You were in the higher echelons of the Michigan Republican Party. Been a lot of talk about President Biden losing some support over the Israeli-Palestinian war over there in Gaza. What's the state of Michigan right now, Jeff, in your opinion? How are things panning out, and how do you see this playing out? Is Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona still keys to 2024?
I think, yeah, those four states that you mentioned there, three Great Lakes states plus Arizona, are where the election is going to be decided. And whoever wins three out of those four states is going to be the next president. This is, you know, to use a tired old sports analogy, you know, we're maybe still in the first half of the football game. I would say democracy right now is trailing today, but it's close. It's by less than a field goal.
Okay.
We've still got the whole second half ahead of us to play the game. And so, you know, the election isn't in May. It's going to be in November. The mm-hmm. all the fundamentals of the election point in favor of the incumbent. If you just historically look back and said, look at the economy, who's likely to win? Historians, political scientists, scholars would say this climate, the economy, and everything else favors the incumbent. They're not looking at the clear partisan divide that we have right now. I don't think this is going to be a cakewalk by any means. There's no chance this is going to be a blowout election like we saw with Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter in 1980, right. For instance.
And for those who might be... go ahead.
Yeah.
I was going to say, for those who might
I think that it would be dicey right now. I think Joe Biden wins Pennsylvania and Wisconsin today, and Michigan is a coin toss today.
Okay.
That's how I think it is if we were forced to vote today, but we're not. And I think that the Biden has some issues with his own base. Candidates often do, even incumbents do, that there's time to put that to rest. Right now, parts of his base are protesting what they see as a flaw or wrong in Biden's policies, mm-hmm. or in using Biden as the fiat, the proxy for what they see is wrong with Netanyahu's policies. And so when it comes down to that choice, though, between Trump and Biden, I think many of them are going to end up voting for the candidate who is most likely and most or closest to their position, and that's going to be Joe Biden. I think he will put his base to rest much easier than Donald Trump will, who we've seen Donald Trump consistently lose between 10% and 20% of the Republican vote to nobody.
And for those who might be not quite as old as Jeff and I, back in 1988, Michael Dukakis was up on George H.W. Bush by 10 points at this point in the election. Jeff Timmer, always a pleasure from Lincoln Project. Have a great day, my friend. Thank you so much. Back with more after this. It's the Todd Allbolt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbolt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, May 23rd, 2024. Glad to have you along with us. Thanks to Jeff Timmer from the Lincoln Project for being along, pitching in for Trevi Olson, who will return next Wednesday, along with Pat Kreitlow as well. We were down at Kopke's Greenhouse yesterday. Sam Davidson filling in on the board today, producing engineering. We always appreciate you, Sam. Ever been down to Kopke's?
I have not, no.
Or he's also on there also, for those listening in Madison or Dane County, he's at the Dane County Farmers Market every Saturday morning as well.
I'll have to check him out.
If you need plants, it's the place to go. It's the thing to do. And Sunday at 3:00, they're having a big auction, and they're auctioning off a bunch of their really super nice planters, and all the proceeds, including the brats and the sodas and everything, all the proceeds go to the Badger Honor Flight to help get veterans out to Washington, D.C.
I'm unfortunately going to be out of town this weekend. Otherwise, I would love to go.
Have some plans. Where are you going?
Sophia, my girlfriend, and I are going up to her uncle's cabin in Minnesota.
What beautiful weekend. Well, at least tomorrow's going to be, tomorrow and Saturday, I think, going to be fantastic. So enjoy yourself. Very good.
I will. I'm
excited. Glad to have you along. You can talk to Sam. Give him a call. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. He will answer your phone calls and then let us know when you're on the ready to go, and we'll put you on the air. Talking about Nikki Haley. I'm not even sure if I want to call it a flip-flop or not. I mean, she said she was not going to vote for Trump. She disavows him. And then I think the biggest insight that our friend Jeff Timmer from the Lincoln Project, who knows these national folks, that he's saying this was completely transactional. that she did this calculated yesterday for a reason. It was, okay, go out there and say you're voting for Trump. And if you do that, then you'll get X in the future, either from Trump or from the Republican Party. It was clearly transactional. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Mark calling in from Pertisac. Mark, always a pleasure. What say you?
Well, it merely cements in my mind, at least, that you know, the transactional nature and just the political opportunism of Nikki Haley. I mean, that her whole career now is directed at her political career. I mean, that she's trying to pick up whatever kind of point she's going to go. And the whole problem is currently the Republican Party platform apparently now is going to be Project 2025, which is just, in my mind, anathema to the American Republic. Mm-hmm. I mean, that if you read back to history at the time of the founders, I mean, I think Thomas Jefferson and his fellow Democrats back then would have called themselves Republicans rather than, or at least Democratic Republicans, in opposition to the Federalists. Mm-hmm. There were, you know, that the tension between them, because our Constitution is a combination of, you know, the work of Madison and Hamilton, you know, in their arguments, reading the Federalist Papers, and of course John Jay,
right,
in there as well. But I mean that the American experiment, if Donald Trump gets elected again, the American experiment is going to be severely crippled by what I see that they'll go along with, because the whole religious intolerance that would be introduced then is just it's kind of scary. It's introducing, you know, a pre-revolutionary form of religious intolerance that we shall see, because that's what our founders set this country up as a secular democratic republic, because they saw how the countries were torn apart in the previous century, in the 17th century, with the religious wars between the Catholics and the Protestants,
right,
and among the Protestants themselves. I mean, it is just, you know, history is not being taught in schools apparently these days, because I can remember this stuff from 50 years ago, you know, that and even in junior high school we talked about, you know, the religious, you know, intolerance that was introduced with the new country that we didn't see at the founding of the colonies in this country, which were extremely intolerant.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you so very much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Love to hear from you on the same subject. Sam, you're a younger person. You just got out of college not too long ago. Mark brings up, because we kind of talked about this, you know, I'm 54, I'm much older. Are they still teaching kind of history like this and when you were in high school, that sort of thing? Are these the types of things that Mark was talking about, you know, the things that didn't work in Europe, the things that didn't work in England at the time? Is this something that's still being talked about?
They're sure trying to. This is me remembering back a little ways now, too, because I was in ninth grade when I took, like, my American history civics sort of class. But yeah, they're teaching it. I don't think people are maybe grasping it as much as people of Mark's generation, or they don't care about it as much, or they don't realize how important it is, maybe.
Yeah.
That would be my take on it.
I think you're right, and it brings up we're workshopping a new segment, and we'll get your intake on this at some point. Because this came from my good friend Jonathan Klein, who we were having dinner or drinks one night with he and his lovely wife Allison, and we do an informal periodically the week in review, which sometimes it turns out the last 3 months or last quarter in review. But and there was a subject that came up, and I said, "What do you think about that?" And I said, "Don't you care about that?" And he said, "I care, but not enough to do anything about it."
Yeah.
So I think we're workshopping a new segment called "I Care, but not enough to do anything about it." But so, I mean, I think to your point, I think that some people, they kind of care, but really enough to do anything about it or to learn more, not really.
Exactly.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'd agree.
There are more pressing things. I don't, you know.
Or, I don't know, there's just so many things to distract people nowadays.
Well, that's true. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you, 855-75-CIVIC, that's C-I-V-I-C. Mr. Davidson on the board today, and he will answer your calls and we'll get you on talking about Nikki Haley or... Or really, I mean, Jeff Timmer from Lincoln Project last segment there listed a bunch of folks, whether it was Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz or Lindsey Graham in the United States Senate. The list goes on and on. All of these Republicans who once disavowed Trump, and in the case of some people like Rubio and Ted Cruz in particular, I mean, Trump was personally attacking them, and in some cases their wives, or in Ted Cruz's case, the father, insulting them with lies and insults. And yet these people, and now add Nikki Haley to the list, who are genuflecting and who are no better than anybody. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, I left the Republican. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else or anything like that. All I'm saying is I left the Republican Party in 2011 prior to Donald Trump being involved. This was at the start of the Walker regime. And I could see things falling apart then. When you see a party who's actively trying to disenfranchise fellow Americans from voting, that should be a red alert, a red flag. I'm not going there type moment. I mean, I don't want to use the phrase it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard in terms of what I believed. I mean, I knew that what the Republican Party in Wisconsin at the time was doing to disenfranchise voters. That part, knowing right from wrong, that was not hard. What I guess was hard for a moment was just like thinking about the repercussions a little bit personally. But I mean, I walked directly down to my former boss's office at the time and said, I'm done. I mean, it wasn't that hard to decipher right from wrong. So it's not hard for these people now to know right from wrong. It's just that they're putting their personal salaries, money, position, power ahead of their character and their morals and, quite frankly, their country. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Tom. Tom calling in on the line. We appreciate you calling in. Tom, what say you?
Well, I'd like to say, Todd, that I'm glad to hear you're on the air, and I like to hear your in-the-middle sort of viewpoint. What I'd like to say is I think this may actually be a stroke of genius on the part of Trump, because I think that she now, there's a good chance, I'd bet $5, that she's going to be the VP pick, and that she's going to soften some of the harsh edges he's got, and that there may be enough of a draw for people to actually vote Republican, and I think it makes him more electable, which is maybe not a good thing.
See, I think you're, and Tom, I appreciate it. Stay on the line for a second, because I appreciate your call. I tend to agree with you in terms of, would it be a really smart pick for Trump to do exactly what you just said, soften his edges? Yes, I do. But I'm convinced that Trump wants someone even more bat crap crazy, to clean up a phrase, because he kind of went with someone who was going to be more mainstream and clean up his edges in 2016 with Mike Pence. And when push came to shove, Pence was not willing to put Trump ahead of the Constitution. And I think that Trump wants someone who's going to be absolutist. So you're right in my opinion. That would be the smart political thing. I'm not sure if he's that smart.
There's another thing, though. She's a woman. And women are gaining in popularity and are winning more elections. And that's an important thing, especially with the abortion issue.
Yeah. I agree with that. But I agree. I think it will be a woman. But I actually think that Kristi Noem is still a candidate. I think that people don't agree with me. I think that Marjorie Taylor Greene is exactly what he wants. I really do. The more crazy, the more loyal, I we'll see, but I appreciate the call. I appreciate the call. Thank you, yep. Tom, calling in from Jackson.
$5.
Now, I've lost $5 bets to Luke Mathers in this place, so I'm not betting anybody any cash. But if we get to Jackson, I'll buy you a beer if you're right. How about that?
All right.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Tom. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Gene in Eau Claire. Gene, always a pleasure. 2 minutes left. What say you?
Thank you very much for taking my call. Yeah, I just think that she made a bad move, but, you know, there's also a lot of threats behind this group. And I think there's a lot of money behind this group that we don't see, you know. And like Judge Alito, for instance, mm-hmm. I think, you know, people are getting a little nervous about that when we got a, you know, Supreme Court justice that sympathizes and appears to sympathize, you know, with the insurrectionists and those people because they're in the highest court. I don't know, but I do not think that will pull women in because women supported her because she spoke back to Trump. No woman should take that job because he can't stand women. He abuses women like nobody's business. You know, remember when they were he was being interviewed, didn't like the interviewer, yeah. And all blood coming from her eyes and going after the women candidates. I mean, he's just, in my opinion, he's just evil.
I got about a minute left, but I want to get your opinion on this, Gene, because you're from the Eau Claire area. In one of the polls recently in Wisconsin, one of the places that Trump apparently is gaining some momentum in the polls is with rural women in Wisconsin, which I can't quite put my finger on that. Any thoughts as a woman from the western part of the state?
Definitely. The rural area gets zero information. They get zero facts of what's going on. The newspaper sales are down. Our local press does not cover any of this. In fact, they show Van Orden doing all these great things for Wisconsin. It just makes me sick, and it's in the news. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we need all the help we can get on our side of the state. And, in fact, the guy running against Tammy Baldwin's taking all kinds of ads during the news times and things, showing what a great man he is, and then he's going after Tammy Baldwin. Oh, she don't live in Wisconsin. She's not from Wisconsin anymore. She lives with her girlfriend in, you know, a very wealthy place, and he's just going after. So I hope people start, if they're going to put on ads, they better do it now before they have that inflamed in their brain of the garbage that they're throwing out already. So thank you so much
appreciate
for the work that you're doing. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Gene. Thank you so much. Gene brings up a really interesting point. We'll talk about it a little bit more on the other side here. And that is where, and by the way, I think that Tammy Baldwin's folks are running one of the best campaigns I've ever seen. She's talking about her successes. She's talking about helping constituents. But I also think Gene brings up a great point that this election is not just should not be fought or won in urban areas. It is a rural component. We'll talk about that. And also the Republican National Convention here in the state of Wisconsin, the delegate list, sad, bad. Not glad. It's the All Balls Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it here on a Thursday, May 23rd. It is 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. A beautiful day high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. Sam Davidson on the board. Always a pleasure, Mr. Davidson, to have you in the chair for the day. Thanks for filling in.
Glad to be here.
As you can hear, Sam, along with John and Gordy at our local Madison affiliate, WMDX, every morning from 6 until 8.
6 to 8.
Have you gotten used to the early mornings yet, Sam?
I've gotten more used to it.
Right.
Yeah. I've gotten to the point where on weekends sometimes I'll wake up at like 4:30 and then fall back asleep.
See, back in the day, I worked sign-on. Back then, you would sign off like at midnight.
At night,
and then sign on. So I would work the Saturday morning sign-ons sometimes, which is 5 a.m. So you'd have to be there like at 4:30, 4:45.
On a Saturday morning.
On a Saturday morning to sign on. And that was a bit rough.
Brutal.
Brutal. And there were times where you'd go to bed and then like I'd wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning petrified that, oh my God, my alarm didn't go off. And I'd freak out.
I've only slept through my alarm once.
Really?
That was a wild morning.
I'm sure it was. Well, you can hear Sam every morning, 6 until 8 on John and Courtney. We appreciate you being here, Sam. Thank you so very much. I want to just pick up one more time on that point from Gene and Eau Claire right before the break, saying that OC, Orange County Eric Hovde, running against Tammy Baldwin, and others, including Do-Nothing Derek Van Orton of the 3rd Congressional District, running ads in and on local television in rural Wisconsin. Maybe, this recent poll here that came out, I believe it was Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, at least it was in that paper, that one of the few areas where Donald Trump seems to be picking up momentum, not a lot, but some, in the polls, is with women in rural parts of the state, which I just find, in a way, I find odd because of Donald Trump's stance on reproductive rights, which, don't make any mistake about it, if a Republican-controlled Congress passes a national abortion ban, Donald Trump will sign that. And knowing that, I just find it odd that women in particular, rural women, would be more apt suddenly now. I shouldn't say it that way. That there seems to be a small trend that one of the demographics that Trump is doing better in is women in rural counties. But I think that Gene is absolutely right that some, not all, but some Democratic campaigns or efforts are still being focused on more urban centers in Wisconsin. And I think it's a great point that Gene makes that this election in 2024 has to be fought, or at least disseminate truthful information across all parts of the state. Because I still believe that there, and we've talked about this before, and that's why I try, when we play cuts of different people, particularly Trump or Trump supporters, I try to play the whole cut, or at least as much of it as I can, to give you the honest cut. I don't want to chop it up and take it out of context, you know, for personal gain or whatever. I want you to hear it directly from Republicans. And I think what a lot of people, you know, they'll say, well, Trump really didn't say that, or so-and-so didn't really say that. And then when you play it, it's like, oh, okay, well, that I'm not for that. So I think Gene's right. The more that we can get the truth out there, the more we can disseminate truthful and factual information, I think the more stark the choice becomes. I guess that's the point I'll make. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, speaking of a great newspaper, headline, Wisconsin RNC delegation includes Scott Walker, Tommy Thompson, and Tim Michaels. With just under 2 months until the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's Republicans have finalized their list of delegates. Wisconsin's 41 delegates for the RNC, set for July 15th through the 18th. By the way, we'll be there. This show broadcasting live that week for the RNC. Sam, pray to your respective gods and give me some of your medication.
Oh, will do. I'll need some as well.
It includes former Governor Scott Walker, Tommy Thompson, and 2022 Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels. They are among 2,429 total delegates from across the country voting on the convention in Milwaukee to formally nominate the Trumpster as the party's candidate to take on Democrat Joe Biden. They give the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel published the full list. It includes, of course, Republican Party of Wisconsin Chairman Brian Arthur Schimming at the top of the list. Of course, Scott Walker, Tommy Thompson, former Republican Party Chairman and State Senator Paul Farrow, former Republican Party Chair Brad Courtney. I'm not going to read all these names. But as I look down here, with the exception of one individual, I don't recognize hardly anybody from when I was in the Republican Party. Of course, I left in 2011. And also, of interest, two election deniers. This Pam Travis, who voted for the fake set of electors, and also Robert Bob Spindell Jr. So you have two people who were caught up in this fake electors scam in Wisconsin, who tried to overthrow a legitimate election in the state of Wisconsin in 2020. They are now on the list of Republican delegates for the state of Wisconsin. I mean, and you know, again, We talk about Tommy Thompson and former governor and the way that he ran things when he was governor, worked across the aisle when he could, got a lot of things done. And I admire the man for that part of his life. And I also think when he served as interim president of the UW system, he was recognized nationally because of all this time he spent as a national secretary of Health and Human Services. The work that he did on the pandemic and COVID on campus was a model of what they did nationally. And I think he did a good job through the pandemic as president of the UW system. I wish he would have just at that point said, I'm going to the farm and plow and make hay. And just leave it at that, you understand? You've had a great career. Longest-serving governor in Wisconsin. Great. You were the president of your alma mater, UW-Madison system. Tommy just, in my opinion, he wants to be liked. And I think the majority of Wisconsinites would say they like him. But Tommy, don't. Governor, with all due respect, these schmucks at the Republican National Convention, they're beneath you. Just get a cold. You're not feeling well. Be like Robin Voss. We have a scheduling conflict. I'm sorry, I forgot. I had to play euchre that weekend. Just stay away, whatever it might be. Back with hour two after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Thursday right here across Wisconsin, around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.